Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It is the final two-start pitcher podcast of the 2022 Major League Baseball season. Hope you'll join us on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by So Rare. I'm Clay Link here with FSWA Hall of Famer Todd Zola. And Todd, this is the last two-star pitcher podcast of the season because the last week to grade two-star pitchers. That final week of the season, only, what, 4 days? So
it's 3 days.
3 days.
One team can't have a doubleheader, right? Two teams have a doubleheader.
Nice. Well, it's been a great journey, and thank you all for being a part of it with us. And, yeah, it should be fun to recap here and grade one more time. Then we'll have a couple, you know, wrap-up shows at the very end, and we'll maybe have some guests.
Keep them a secret. But, yeah, we just talked about a couple of friends of ours in the industry that, it should be a good – it won't be a silent 45 to 60 minutes on the next two Fridays. We'll find stuff to talk about.
Absolutely. And I just want to say before we get going here, I sent out a tweet earlier this week, but I just wanted to say on the show, congrats to Greg Jewett, reliever recon, really good stuff that he does. Took me down in the Top Wars head to head league last week. And he's also does closer stuff for the Athletic. I forgot about that. Yeah. He owns reliever recon. And he's a contributor for Baseball HQ as well. Really good player. And semifinals went down to him. Just tip of the cap to Greg, who's a great player and was a deserving winner. So I just wanted to, I'm in another semifinal matchup. That would be tough to lose semifinal matchups back-to-back weeks. Yeah. Hopefully I can come out on top on this one this week.
Yeah, you were kind of the tough luck loser this week. Wasn't your score in the semis higher than the other two that went in that are meeting Greg in the finals?
Yeah.
But that's what we signed up for. Yeah. That's what we signed up for.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of the beast. And I think you're approaching Nate Rabbit / Eric Caraball levels as far as runner ups go.
Yeah, the perennial bridesmaid is how Howard Bender described it. And it's another year of that, but hey, that's fantasy for you.
Well, at least, as Howard would say, at least you're pretty.
I think he says that in jest, and in my case, that would be in jest for sure. All right, so the pickups from last night in the Stake League, before we grade two-star pitchers, pretty active week again, people trying to avoid that buyer's table at the steak dinner. Carlos Santana for 3. Eric Lauer looks like, is he back yet or is he coming back? I know he's, let me look at when Lauer's start. Oh, he's starting tonight against the Reds.
Yeah, which counts for your league, right? I mean,
you can turn him loose right away tonight. It's a pretty nice little pickup there. Jared Kelnick. So, Santana was 3, Lauer for 2, and then Kelnick kicks off our $0 ads. There are a bunch of $0 pickups. Kelnick's back again, and maybe some tweaks to his stance could help fuel things, but Hard to know what you're getting over these final two.
Yeah, he was crushing it on the farm, but it's the PCL, and there are six games in Vegas. Well, against Vegas, I assume somewhere in Vegas, one of the easier sites to hit, but he's still hitting the ball, right? So, and he hit a home run his first game with the Mariners. Well, first game back with the Mariners.
Mm-hmm. J.P. Sears, I picked up. He's got a home start against the Mets this weekend, so a little iffy, but, you know, J.P. Sears has been pretty good and probably turn him loose for that home start. Let's see who else picked up here. Edward Olivares. You know, Dayton Moore out, and I know people were kind of joking that, you know, one last time he'd like to send Edward Olivares down, but not going to happen for Dayton Moore. And I guess bigger than Olivares is that Moore story and how that affects that franchise. Pretty huge move for them to pull that plug on Moore finally after he constructed that 2015 World Series champion
team. Constructed it. That's, he's got that under his belt. He thinks he'll stay in the game probably because of that. But, you know, it's one of those, sometimes you wear out your welcome, and sometimes this just, you're not, your voice is no longer being heard. So Olivares also hit a home run. Well, it wasn't his first game back, but he hit a home run, would have been last night. So he's played, he's gotten a hit in each of the five games that he's, since he's been back. So, yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah, we've been tantalized in the past and had the rug pulled out from under us, but maybe he can spark some things over these final couple weeks. David Bednar's back. Maybe he'll grab a few saves. He should immediately return to that closer role, don't you think? He's gone for a while. But...
Yep, absolutely. I mean, how many games Pittsburgh wins remains to be seen. But, no one has stood out. So, sure, why not give Bednar the role? If nothing else, it could increase some off-season trade, you know, stock.
Yeah, get him back in the role. Maybe they win four games the rest of the way, but maybe he saves two of them. So let him get reacclimated to the role. Tony Kemp has been on a nice little run. He was a $0 ad, and so is Miles Straw. Another $0 pickup. Hard for me to trust because of how bad Straw's been overall this year, but swinging it well right now. Luis Ortiz was a James Anderson pickup, $0. Aaron Savali, kind of like that. Who does Savali get next? Let me double check. He's got at Texas this weekend. So, yeah, versus KC and versus, at Texas versus KC next week. So that is pretty nice for Aaron Savali. Brandon Hughes. Seems to be the Cubs closer, at least primary. Oswaldo Cabrera I picked up. Just needed a guy who's playing and swinging it pretty well. Cabrera, not quite an everyday player, but he's been playing a lot.
And once the seal is put on a division, Cabrera could play a lot more, given, once Judge does what he needs to do, they may start resting some of the outfielders.
Yeah, they got Harrison Bader back, but Jordan Hicks is banged up and he's been miserable. I guess Jordan Hicks is ill, not banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Hicks has been just brutal this year. 635 OPS.
Yeah, Aaron Hicks. Yeah,
Hicks.
Yeah, I mean, it's why the trade for Bader was made. Now, I've seen a little bit of Bader since he's been back. He hasn't done a whole lot with the bat. But I can see what the fuss is all about defensively.
Oh yeah, he's a stud defensively.
Yeah, you can absolutely. I mean, I make the analysis a couple times a season, but when you're warming up in softball, you can tell just by the opposing team playing catch who's really good. You can just tell. Mm-hmm. You can see that with Bader.
Absolutely. He's a hell of an athlete. Can really move around.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have Oswaldo Cabrera as the number one left fielder on our depth chart. So maybe it stays that way. Maybe when LeMahieu comes back, they have to shuffle some things around. But yeah. You'll stay in the DH. I think there's a good opening for Cabrera to play a lot. Ezekiel Tovar picked up. Austin Slater, Nathan Eaton, Akil Badu. Michael Lorenzen, Brian De La Cruz, I had a bit on. He's been kind of impressive. Dre Jameson, who's He's been a nice performer for Arizona. I think he gets he lines up for at Houston next week, so that's kind of a tough matchup. But he is
right.
He has shown flashes, certainly. Domingo Acevedo, is he the new closer in Oakland? Acevedo
today, anyway.
Yeah, I think our buddy Jason Shabilsky had mentioned or wrote about Acevedo in his Fab column yesterday, but. Yeah, that team's just kind of a tree in a forest situation out in Oakland. It's I mentioned I picked up JP Sears, but their back end situation I just haven't really cared about much at all. Aledmys Diaz, and then finally Juan Yepes. So a lot of pickups, and we'll see how much these guys help over these final few weeks. Probably not a ton, but trying to patch some holes so that we're not catching zeros in our active lineups.
I mean, we kind of tongue-in-cheek joked about Acevedo. He's got four saves since the 14th.
Yeah, I mean, really, he has apparently emerged. I just didn't notice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've talked about Seattle's soft schedule. Well, Oakland took two or three from the Mariners, you know, the past series. So you still got to play the games. And Acevedo got saves in two of those games.
Yes, that was a nice pickup. That team's just so bad that I didn't really think about them much and been doing fabs over the past few weeks. But, I'd rather have him than a guy like, you know, Alexis Diaz or somebody, some of these other fringe closer candidates right now. All right. Well, before we get into the two-star pitchers for next week, let's breathe quickly, throw to a quick word from our Blue Wire sponsors.
That was wrong.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. We are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link here with FSWA Hall of Famer Todd Zola. Todd, did you say I was wrong about something?
No, I apologize because my computer started to make noise, but it was through my headphones. So I was like, oh boy, like I thought I may have had to go over the air. Then I realized that it was through my headphones and no one heard. Who was it? Lucy Burge on my Twitter feed start to tell us who to pick for tonight's games. Sorry about that. Well, I heard him. You guys didn't. Sorry about thinking you guys heard him.
I just wanted to be sure you weren't trying to correct me on something.
No, I'm trying to correct myself. I just inadvertently hit my, you know, my fat finger hit the button and it went onto my Twitter and it activated the current like feed, what was on the feed, and it happened to be a voice. So I apologize for that.
Oh, all good, all good. It's a pretty big night as far as baseball history goes, by the way. Judge chasing the, trying to tie the AL home run record. And how many does Pujols now? Is he going for 700 yet?
No, still 699.
Okay. Yeah.
But I believe it's,
he's going for 700.
I believe it's Andrew Heaney, either tonight or tomorrow. So it's another southpaw. We need, you know, I think people probably realize by now, because it's been in the news, but to watch Aaron Judge against who's pitching tonight, whoever it might be, look it up. You got to go on Apple TV.
Yeah. I'm going to just bite my tongue, but it's kind of annoying. It's free.
But if you want to watch it, you need to make the effort.
He's going against Rich Hill, so
this could be the night. Yes.
I'm trying to look up Pujols. Is he? I've seen on Baseball References at 698.
Right. He's at 698. But he has at least one more, and maybe two more lefties this weekend. And St. Louis is so far ahead; they've been playing him every day.
Yeah.
So he's going to get the opportunities.
Should get there. That's a hell of a milestone. For Albert, so, and one that really came out of nowhere for me that he'd be able to make this surge. Like,
oh yeah, no, absolutely. You know what? And why does it have to be juice or opposing pitchers grooving in the ball? Why can't we be enjoying one of the all-time greats going an all-time run to end the season?
Yeah, I think people are just naturally.
Jerks.
More skeptical now.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're just
pessimistic.
Yeah, they're just looking for a reason, you know, to, I don't know, whatever it's worth. Next week, the Cardinals only have five, and get some tough pitchers. Hauser, Woodruff, not so much Oviedo and Luis Ortiz, but then Roansy Contreras. So they're five righties to start. Not that he can't hit a home run against, you know, against a right-hander. But let's get it done this weekend with a couple of southpaws on the hill.
Absolutely. Well, have fun watching. You don't need an actual Apple TV Plus paid membership, but you do need your Apple ID if you're going to watch those. So good luck trying to navigate that. Should we get to the two-star pitchers for next week?
Yeah, all right. So just to clean up the Pujols scenario, Jose Quintana. No, that's who the St. Louis is going. Three lefties, except they're pretty tough. Andrew Heaney, Clayton Kershaw, and Tyler Anderson. So we're gonna get some at bats against southpaws, but they're pretty good southpaws. Anyway, all right, now we can start.
All right, well, no two-star pitchers for Arizona are off the bat because they only have five games. But we'll see how Dre Jameson fares in probably his toughest test. And Mad Bum. You know, they're booing him at home quite a bit. I don't know, man. He might be toast.
He was terrible, but he came out and threw like a six-inning, one-run game against the Dodgers the last time out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so roll
back. Might be the – it just seems like the sun's fully here. And
yeah.
Maybe it's time to ride off into it.
Yeah.
I've seen a little bit of an anomaly for the Atlanta Braves in our grid because we have Spencer Strider set for Monday, but then Max Fried is the two-star pitcher. So Strider's hurt right now. He's got an oblique TBD, but if you were to start Monday, I don't know why he wouldn't get two stars.
It might be. I know Strider's really good, but Fried is Fried, and it might be to get Fried against the Mets.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point because that is still up for grabs.
Right. So, not for it's going down to the wire.
Yeah, I mean that's totally.
We have Strider for Monday, and you know we could also give him extra time because you know.
Yeah, you could give him like have him at Washington, then at Miami the following week, build in a full week of rest.
This is us speculating.
Yeah.
I think either way, the number five is going to come out of our mouths.
Yeah, that's true. We're kind of haggling over minutia here, but I'm going to say. For officially in the sheet, I'm going to put Fried down, and I'm going to give him a five.
Yeah.
But extremely tentative, and we'll have to just wait and see on Strider. You know, if Strider ends up getting scratched, The guy, Bryce Elder, who they started, he's been great.
Yeah,
pick up and stream him if Strider's unavailable. I did that in an NL league.
Yep.
Paid off. So, yeah, keep an eye on Bryce Elder if Strider's unable to go. Jordan Lyles of a 450 ERA at Boston, at New York. I'm trying to think of any reason to even give him a positive number here.
The only reason would be he really pitched when he threw that. He threw a complete game the last time out. So
against the Tigers.
Boston and New York. Man, I mean, not you know what? Neither team is crushing it right now.
True.
And the Yankees could be setting up for the playoffs by Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still
fair points.
I'm still going one at the most.
Yeah, last time he faced Boston, which was September 10th, they knocked him around for 8 runs. He did have that 9 inning. Yeah, I'm going to go one. Don't even feel good about it, but
points league, head-to-head league, yeah, one.
Guy coming off a complete game. I got to at least give him a little respect and give him a one. Now, Kyle Bradish has been showing some major flashes, you know, some hiccups too, but last night he went 8 2/3, nearly a complete game, struck out 10. He had another game where he went 8 innings somewhat recently. He's been tantalizing for sure, Kyle Bradish, 26 years old. So he is same two-step for him at Boston and New York. I think I like him a little bit more than Lyles, but I'm still only going to go at 2.
Yep, I'm going to go at 2 as well. You know, if this were May, you know, 23rd, you know, who knows? But he's showed a little something, and neither the Red Sox nor the Yankees, again, are more than likely to be – they're not going to be playing for anything at that point, not even positioning, right? They're going to have the number 2 seed locked up, and they should have the division locked up by that point. Well, it may be like a magic number of 1 or something.
Well, Michael Wacha's 11-1. He gets a home start against Baltimore, then at Toronto to close next week. So, you know, he's been great. The at Toronto still isn't, you know, my favorite. And he's probably not a 5 pitcher, but I think Michael Wacha's probably a 4.
Yeah. Yeah. If he had a few more innings, he would be deserved of some losing Cy Young votes or whatever, 6th or 7th
down
place.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 4. I mean, he's over his skis, but yeah, I'm going to go 4.
Yeah, it could be one where it's like some painful give back, but I just can't see myself swapping him out of a lineup right now. No 2-star pitchers for the Cubs. I know Drew Smyly got scratched, but we have him penciled in for Tuesday. So Connor Overton for the Reds. He pitched well earlier this year before getting hurt at Pitt at the Cubs. Even though he did pitch well, very few Ks, I don't see starting Overton even with these matchups. I'm going to go 0.
I'm going to go 0. And I mean, I think we're just, he's a speculative pick for us at this point.
Yeah.
The way injuries have fleshed it out. I don't know who, I don't think there's anybody on the roster that we would consider starting anyway, right?
Well, I mean, maybe Nick Lodolo
in that spot.
Oh, yeah.
In that spot.
That's
any replacement.
Yeah, nobody that they could swap in for Overton that I'd consider. Yeah, good point. Tristan McKenzie, I saw you had a tweet the other day about, what about his durability issues? But he's been, he's tall and scrawny, but he's been able to put a lot of innings on that frame.
180.
Yeah.
You know, north of 180. No, excuse me. Cleveland, man, have they taken care of business, huh?
They just ran away with it.
Well, they beat the teams they needed to beat. They did, you know, my mommy always used to say, if I need something done right, I'm just going to do it myself, usually because I wasn't doing it. Well, Cleveland took care of it themselves by, you know, beating Minnesota 4-5 and taking care of the White Sox. Anyway. We talked about the durability of the 180 innings. It may be 5 and fly to get ready for the playoffs, but I don't think you're going to be a three-inning scenario here. I think he'll play versus Tampa just because due to the, you know, to keep the integrity of the race, he may sit during that final weekend or not go the full six or seven, but I think I'm starting him. He's a, is he a five?
I'd actually put him down as a five.
Is he a five? He's a five.
Yeah, he's been really good, and that team's good. He's a
five. He's a five.
You know, on the radio early this year, I picked Minnesota to win when they were up, and that's not looking so good. I should have seen it coming with the pitching. They just didn't have the pitching, and the White Sox never got going either. But Minnesota was a farce, and they showed their true colors eventually. Herman Marquez at San Francisco at the Dodgers. So two away from Coors, but I still think I might go zero here. I can't see starting him, honestly, even on the road. Let me reconsider at San Fran. Maybe a one. I'll go one.
I'm going to go a one. I think we should point out that the once this weekend is over, the Rockies have no more home games.
Oh, yeah, good point. Jeez. So, yeah, that really dings their hitters over the final week plus.
Yeah. We kind of warned people about that, but, absolutely.
Let me just real quick, while we're on the topic of Herman Marquez, check his he's got a 3.50 ERA on the road. He's been
– the skills aren't great on the road, but, I mean,
K rate on the road's only like 6 per nine.
Yeah, the skills are almost better at home.
Yeah, that's strange. He is allowing a 209 average on the road. Mm-hmm. That's pretty darn good. But a 226 BABIP, a 358 BABIP at home.
Yep.
So that's what that gigantic outfield of Coors will do to you.
Yep.
And the thin air, of course. Continuing on, two-star pitchers for next week. Lance Lynn at Minnesota, at San Diego. You said a couple weeks ago that Lynn was fully back.
And then what happened?
I honestly don't know, but let's take a look.
He has struggled a little lately.
Yeah, well, a little bit. It hasn't been that bad, but.
All right, yes.
Two. Got quality starts.
Yeah. Each of his last. But the strikeouts are down.
Four or five. Wow. He's riding a, six-game quality start streak?
Yeah, the strikeouts are down lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only 3 Ks his last time out.
Yeah, 14 over his last 18 and a third.
So I'm going to give Lance Lynn a four. What say you on
that? I think I'm there. I agree. Minnesota and San Diego, a four.
Now, every week we get at least one guy who was on our list last week who got pushed back inevitably, and that's Joey Wentz here. Kind of nice, at least on paper, versus Kansas City versus Minnesota at home. So let me just double check if there's anything to see here on Joey Wentz.
Well, while you're doing that, Minnesota's terrible against lefties.
Yeah. Joey Wentz is a southpaw. I just don't see much K upside. He hasn't struck out.
Right. Well, the K upside is Minnesota striking out 28% of the time against lefties in the past month. And as we've talked about and I've written about, left splits against lefties are very, full of noise.
Yeah. I may go one here on Joey Wentz. What say you?
You know what? I'm going to go a one. But of all the ones that we've talked about, he's the one that I'm using if I need two pitchers.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's a 1.49.
All right. I hear you. So among that $1 bucket or one grade bucket.
At least so far. At least so far.
So no two-star pitchers for Houston. They got two off days next week. And then for Kansas City, Daniel Lynch is going to be at Detroit, at Cleveland. ERA over 5. Has he been any better lately?
He throws in that tease game once in a while.
Yeah.
But there's just no consistency there. And
routinely falling short of 5, too. Sorry to
interrupt. Right. The tease game that I'm thinking of last was when he fanned 8 in 5 innings against Minnesota, but he gave up 5. He gave up 7 runs, 3, 7 hits, 3 runs. And that, again, Minnesota's not very good against lefties. I mean, the Tigers got him for 4 runs earlier in the month. So yeah, I don't, you know, is this a case of there's nothing to see here? I think so.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got a zero on Daniel Lynch. No real reason to circle back there. No two-star pitchers for the Angels. And then Dustin May, I know some people, including our friend Scott Jenstad, were hoping he would be a big fab piece to really push him over the hump. And it hasn't worked out that way. I love the stuff on May, but just maybe, you know, we got to cut him some slack, though, because he is just returning from Tommy John. I think he'll probably be a great buy for next year, but just kind of a work in progress, still getting his stuff back and his command back. At San Diego versus Colorado. I'll let you go first on Dustin May.
I think this is an important week for May to show he belongs in the Dodgers playoff rotation. I don't know, you know, all right, who would you put it instead? I don't know. But, I mean, you figure he'd either be the third starter or the closer. But he has struggled.
Ooh, you know, I think you maybe have hit the nail on the head there, because they've been talking, and I think just yesterday, last night, Dave Roberts kind of was less committal than ever on Kimbrel as his closer.
You know, I mean, what's Kimbrel doing with a ponytail? Come on.
Yeah, he's grow a little up. Past the age maybe to have the ponytail. But, yeah, he just seems like he's on the rocks and probably on his way out of the closer job.
And was it Trinan that's been shut down? Not that he was going to get in the groove anyway. But so, yeah, I'm all right. So the Dodgers depth chart. All right. You know, we know Kershaw. We know Urias.
And Heaney's been good.
Anderson. So May – we thought May could, you know, it's here, Haney, for the playoffs. And, yeah, May could go to the – May could be pitching in relief.
Would you have any concerns as Dave Roberts going into a series with four lefty starters? Because Haney, Urias, Kershaw, Haney, Anderson, all lefties. As you
I would have a concern, but I'd rather pitch a better lefty than force a junky righty in there.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And, you know, with May, that he could follow that Urias path from a few years ago where Urias was their closer. And
Do you once in a while use a righty opener and then bring in Heaney as the bulk pitcher just to mess up with the platoons or whatever, depending upon the team?
I could throw him some wildly different looks right off the bat.
I can see doing that. I'm not even sure who they would play at this point. They would have, you know, they would face the winner of what the, does it get reseeded or is it to the wild card? I think the wild cards get reseeded. So we're not even sure who they'd be facing.
So actually it looks like, well, let me see. Yeah. Our closer guy, Ryan, actually moved Kimbrel down on the closer grid or on the depth chart. He now has Chris Martin as the number one closer for the Dodgers. So obviously we don't know, but after those comments last night from Dave Roberts, it did seem like maybe they were kind of, didn't he say like, we got to get our best arms in the back end or something?
Yeah.
Like
I mean, and was it Evan Phillips that came in and picked up for Kimbrel after he gave up the homer?
I think so. Yeah. So we now have it as a committee with Martin, Phillips, Kimbrel and Gratterall. Gratterall's hurt though still. He's battled injuries. Right. So they could maybe use one more relief arm.
Right.
Whoever is not starting among that group probably will be a nice little boost to the bullpen for the postseason. Right.
But as far as Dustin May this current week, I'm going to only go three.
Okay, yeah, I think that's right. I like the skills, but I'm iffy on them, and I like these matchups for the most part.
Yeah,
but,
and I have a feeling he's going to be overpriced for me next year.
You think May will be?
Especially if he does well in the playoffs in whatever role.
I guess. I was thinking with this run that maybe he'd be undervalued, but somebody will always fall in love with the stuff. We'll see him in spring training.
Yeah.
Throwing 100-mile-per-hour gas and some crazy breaking pitch, and we'll all fall back in love.
Yeah. That's the way it goes.
I'm thinking right now I'd love to buy low, but maybe you're right. Maybe the price won't really be low for what we've seen this year. Pablo Lopez at the Mets at Milwaukee. It's been a bit of a roller coaster,
but
for Pablo Lopez.
He's pitching well right now. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see a little bit of a bounce back.
Yeah, had that 8 earned run disaster, then a couple quality starts since.
Right. And he had kind of run into a wall innings-wise, and I'm glad to see him kind of get over that hump because, well, in one way I'm not, because we're just talking about pricing for next year. This kind of, you know, removes a little bit of the concern. I mean, I would have been all over him if he had at the discount. But, yeah, so he's bouncing back a little bit here. What are the matchups?
At the Mets, at Milwaukee.
Not great. I mean, you don't love him, but you're not scared either, you know? I think he's – this might be high, but he's back to a 4 for me.
Okay, I was going to go 3. But
yeah, I mean, that again, that this could be a 3.51, you know, to use my analogy from before, but – I said it. I'll stick with it.
Well, I got 3. You got 4. 3.5. Yeah, essentially.
I mean, what about, you know? I know it's not a 2-star pitcher, but has Jesus Luzardo kind of assuaged any fears, and now he's, you know, a top, I don't know, 40 starter next year?
That's a good question. I still think we have to be realistic with workload expectations and dial him back significantly.
He should be able to go 150, 160. He's at 100 now.
Well, that's what we always say with Luzardo, and he's always hurt.
Right, but I'm talking, I mean, as far as, you know, restrictions next year, I don't think there'll be any. But, yeah, I mean, we'll play, you know, we have a couple more weeks to talk about him. But,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
he did have a gem. Was that last night?
He's back in the picture, yeah.
11 Ks, and, yeah, he's just been one thing after another with him. I'd love to see him be able to, you know, have that 150 inning season and then build from there. But hopefully next year is that year.
Yep.
I assume you're team Luzardo way over team Dustin May for next year.
I'll admit some of this is bias in that in the XFL, I essentially traded what I consider to be an unkeepable Jacob DeGrom for Luzardo, a very keepable Luzardo. Uh-huh. And it's not so much I'm bummed that I traded away DeGrom. It's that when you're trading DeGrom, could have gotten more. He's the guy that I decided was the best of the young pitchers, available young pitchers. So I selfishly hope I'm right.
Yeah, there's always some wishful thinking in there, but I hear you. I'm pulling for Luzardo to stay healthy, and because we know if he's healthy, he could be a top tier frontline starter for that team. Well, let's pause briefly and take care of a little bit of business. Hope you'll stick with us and power through the rest of the 2-star starters for next week. Our sponsors at So Rare. So Rare is a ML. I'm sorry. I'll start over. MLB. Okay, take 3. Sorry, Todd. So Rare MLB is an NFT-based free-to-play baseball game played with officially licensed Major League Baseball cards. Sign up today at SoRare.com/MLB and you'll receive 13 common cards to start your collection. Build 7-player lineups from cards in your collection and play weekly competitions with scoring based on real-life player performance. Compete for rewards with other fans around the world. For more information on gameplay and to sign up, visit SoRare.com/MLB. There's no better time to join So Rare than ahead of our postseason gameplay. Postseason is coming up in a hurry. We will have a postseason cheat sheet at RotoWire, by the way, if you're playing any postseason competitions. Adrian Hauser for the Brewers versus St. Louis versus Miami. Now, he's had a couple games, but really tough guy to trust, at least for me. I guess he only 4 2/3. 3 innings. I think I might go 0 on Adrian Hauser.
I you know, I'm glad you said it first because that's where I'm leading.
Strikeouts. And
I mean, at Miami or a home with Miami. Yeah, home with Miami is, I guess, a reason, but not enough. I'm gonna go 0.
Yeah, you should be able to do better if you're in a mixed league. I feel like. Okay, next up, Bailey Ober, your guy here, and he's Yeah, you've had some kind of late season success here at the over. I mean, he hasn't been killing it, but he's gone five innings each of his last, well, three times out, 2.70 ERA over his last two starts versus the White Sox at Detroit. I may go three on Bailey over. I kind of want to pick him up if I can.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's played. He started two games in September. Last having pitched June 1st. Yeah, gave up hits against Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, that June 1st was I included that by mistake.
If you hadn't said that, people never would have realized. I was trying to trying to smooth it over. No, yeah, I'm with you. I got a three. I have a three.
White Sox are kind of not the team you feel great picking on, but not a team you're, like, scared to go up against either.
Yeah, they hit lefties well. Ober's not a righty. So
Ober is a righty, isn't he?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Ober is a righty. Yeah. See, we just traded.
Hey, see, that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, no, Ober is a righty. So, maybe you held on to him, but you should have dropped him. Maybe you picked him back up. But if you're going to have a draft champions, you know, for sure, I'm going with him.
No two-star pitchers for the Mets. They have a couple off days. Next week, good to see Scherzer back. He did get pulled from a perfect game, but bigger fish to fry for that team down the stretch here. Luis Severino at Toronto, at Baltimore. So he returned with five innings, got the win, struck out six. He'd been out for, 3 months? August. Well, 2 months, but yeah, he... It's good to see him back and going five. It looks like in his rehab, he went 4 1/3, 4-2, so he gradually built up.
Yeah.
Only 64 pitches, so he may have to be efficient in that first game to get another win, but we've seen that he can do it. So I may go – let me double-check these matchups here.
Not the greatest, but, again, not going to run away.
At Toronto versus Baltimore. At Toronto versus Baltimore. I'm going to go four.
All right, I'm gonna go with you three.
Okay. I was looking at Bailey Ober. If I have him a three, I think I want Severino a four, but I got you down as a three.
You were talking about Scherzer, and I was thinking about this while watching the game. They pulled him after six with nine strikeouts. Maybe it was the pitch count, but isn't it easier to take a guy out of a perfect game after six than after seven? If he had let him go seven, don't you, and he still had the perfect game.
Yeah, because then you're just six outs away. You know?
Yeah, so pulling him after six, to me, was the smart move.
Yeah, it probably – I know it kind of irks some fans, but, I mean, that's
– Well, I think
that's really the only call at this stage.
Yeah, this one people get. People understand.
Team trying to win the World Series.
Right.
Yeah. You got the two best pitchers in the game. So, yeah, they got their eye on a bigger prize. James Kaprielian, they're going to put back in the rotation. Even though it's at the Angels, at Seattle, he's been so blow-up prone. I guess he had a good outing.
A great outing.
Oh, wow. Two hits over seven?
No, we can't. Well, actually, two reasonable outings in a row.
Yeah, and that September 5th outing, or September 15th outing was at Houston, no less.
Yes, so you don't love the strikeout-to-walk ratio. So again, it comes down to a little bit of needs, but this to me is somewhat of a, you know, I'm going to go, I know you haven't given yours yet, but I'm going to go two, but I'm, you know, I almost said three, but I'm going to go two.
Okay. I had a one, but,
I knew you,
you're
I knew
a high
you.
End two.
Yeah.
High end two. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't love the Seattle matchup because they're probably, although the three playoff teams are the three wild card teams have probably been decided, they're still playing for seeding. And the top wild card team will play all three games at home. And that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge.
I mean, not only are they at home, you know, the way that you play in the last inning matters. That you know, you get last up. So I mean, we're seeing it all the time now with the ghost runner. We're seeing that the approaches of the home and away team are different. it's kind of that way in the ninth inning of a non extra inning game. So anyway, so at least Tampa, Seattle, and Toronto. It's going to be interesting to see what means more to them, setting their rotation or getting home field.
I would think home field, but who knows? Maybe teams will start really focusing in on that.
I would want my rotation set.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
I would want to make. I have to think through what the. I have to think through. Yeah, if I'm Seattle, yeah, I want Castillo and Ray 1-2. I don't want to burn Castillo and Ray to try to get home field. I'd rather just know that they're pitching my first two games. I don't care where.
Oh yeah, now that you say so
that's
that,
why it's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting.
I mean, I would try for home field until the bitter end, but maybe if you're like the final weekend, you might shuffle.
And I have no idea how things are lining up right now.
Yeah, and there's usually like at least a couple off days before the postseason starts, right? Between the end of the regular season and start of the postseason.
I don't know.
I thought there were for at least the
– Yeah, maybe. I just looked this up the other day because I was doing some work for ESPN on it. I mean, I do know that the divisional series will not start until next Thursday. So these teams are going to be getting all right. You're right. It's Friday. So the last day is Wednesday. They all start Friday. And then all the other series start Thursday. So the four bye teams, and we'll talk more about this next week when there's no pitching to talk about, but the four bye teams are going to have a week off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's big. And I think you're probably right that you probably do actually want to make sure. I mean, you got to make sure Castillo and Ray are going, but yeah, you probably don't have to start really lining things up because you have a couple off days until
Final weekend. I think Tampa might care more about home field. I'm sorry, more about home field. Mm-hmm. They have, I mean, do they have an out? Do they really want to? Do they have to set their pitching? You know, is the difference between 1-5 that much? I'm not so sure. So between the dome and the way they play the game, they may care more about home field.
Yeah, I mean, just getting home field would be big, but and you definitely would try for that. But yeah, the final weekend of the season, you're going to have to make sure your ducks are in a row for Friday, October 7th. Zach Wheeler's a 5, right? No real reason to.
Not anymore. He came out throwing BBs last game.
Yeah, he's a stud, and ERA back under 3 for the campaign. Ronzi Contreras, you mentioned that you weren't really starting him anymore just because the Pirates were being proactive and limiting his outings and lifting him before 5. And, you know, he went 4 2/3, but he got knocked around. Did strike out 10, but sitting him at New York turned out to be the right move.
Not unless you need a bunch of strikeouts, but right. Well, so we got Cincinnati and St. Louis. You'd like to think that he gives it his all versus St. Louis. If that means anything, remains to be seen if it means anything. It shouldn't. I wouldn't think at this point.
Sorry to cut you off. I just going to say I'm going to go 1 because I think that's what I gave him last time because it's like I had him in an NL only. I think I actually dropped him in that league.
I'm going to go give him a 1. I'm going to go 2 because I think he's even if he's not going to go 5 innings, I think he's going to give you strikeouts. So do I automatically put in a reliever instead? Probably not.
You know, I'm going to bump mine up to 2 just because I can see him striking out like 13 reds. Like,
yeah.
That team's going to strike out so much.
No, that's not a biased opinion.
No, not at all. Totally level-headed and yeah, unbiased. Now, Blake Snell versus the Dodgers versus the White Sox. And the White Sox still crush lefties, don't they?
They do. But, I mean, we're not judging Blake Snell. We're judging Snellzilla. He's back.
Yeah, Snellzilla. Yeah, his ERA was over 5, like, seemed like 2 weeks ago. Now it's 3.62.
It was on July. So basically, heading into the second half, his ERA was 5.22.
Yeah.
So since the break, it's 2.42, And we're not, you know, there's some luck, of course, because he's given up only 56 hits in 67 innings. But, I mean, I don't know the percentage because it's not on the page, but a 12.5 K9 and a 2.1 BB9. That's good. I don't need to know the percentage. You know, I'll go with a K9 and BB9 to make my judgment here.
Yeah, over that stretch since the All-Star break, you're alluding to 93 Ks in 67 innings.
Yeah, that's good.
Only five homers allowed. Only five homers. 2.42 ERA, as you said, 107 whip. I'm tempted to go five.
You know
I
what?
I think I'm going to go four, but I'm tempted to go five.
He's pitched seven innings each of his last two games. Now, Arizona is pretty easy because of the lefty, heavy lefty outfield. But St. Louis hits lefties better than anybody in the league. I'm going to go five. It's against my grain, but I think he's pitching so well at this point. I'm going to go five.
Well, if you're grading Snellzilla, he's probably five. I'm going to go four, but
All right.
I could definitely see your case there. He does look to be back.
If we keep agreeing, they're going to get someone else to fill it, you know, to work with you on this podcast. We have to.
I need to disagree
with you on occasion just to keep my dang job.
No, you don't have to cave for me at all. So, yeah, okay. Blake Snell got four. You got five. Robbie Ray versus Texas versus Oakland. That's going to be a five, too.
Yeah, I mean, are they trap games because they're so easy? I hope not.
Yeah, those matchups are so good.
Well, and this, we're talking about Seattle. You know, that's got such an easy schedule. But, no, I'm going to go five.
Yeah, and I don't see any reason why Ray or Castillo wouldn't make starts next weekend because, yeah, Ray – they would each have time to get
the top wild card is in play, and I think you're still playing your guys until that point.
Logan Webb, home against Colorado, then home against Arizona. You love to see that. Probably going to go five for Logan Webb.
Yeah.
Maybe not a five pitcher, but five matchup.
I think he's a five pitcher. He this year he's down a little bit, but – you know, last week, as I wrote about in Todd's takes, last week, the smart move was sitting Logan Webb in Colorado. Once in a while, a good pitcher is going to pitch good in Colorado, and he did. But the process was sitting him. This week, the process is, you know, five.
Yeah, totally. St. Louis, they have two off days, so no two-star pitchers for them. And then Corey Kluber, the Klubots, got at Cleveland and at Houston. Yes, I just always hate when I see at Houston, but let's see what Kluber has been. Seven innings the last time out, but then a couple clunkers before that, and had that outing where he couldn't get out of the first. I think if you throw that out as an anomaly, though, which seems like it, that's how we should treat it. I think he's probably a three.
I agree. I'm looking at Altuve now just because. So he returned. He's returning today to the lineup. Good. Altuve is back today.
Altuve back. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dane Dunning for the Texas Rangers at Seattle at the Angels. Yeah, pretty good matchups, but I'd have to be pretty darn desperate.
He's been frustrating because he'll even within a game, he'll show an inning or two of where'd that come from, but then, you know, lose it the next inning. So I'm still going to be on him next year, but it's going to have to. I mean, it's in a, you know, absolute streaming type of a pick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as far as these go, I'm going to say one just because I still think he's good, but Seattle scares me.
Yeah, I'm going to go one too. I feel like, do you think he's going in that like 35-50 range for draft champions?
Oh, I don't think so.
You think it'll be more pricey than that?
I think it'll be less pricey.
Oh, you can't get less pricey than round 50.
Oh, I thought you meant 35th starting pitcher.
Oh, no. Round 35.
I'm sorry. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. He is. I mean, I may take him in the 20s to make sure I get him when you throw ADP out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's something there. It's more about poise and the way he looks. then can you see him developing that curveball and make him a strikeout pitcher? I think he's a pitcher that needs a little bit better stuff. And I know that's not the way you want to be, but I think he's got that. I think he's got the posture. I need to see something. And I don't know if Texas is the team to get it out of him either, but I'm also not sure what Texas is, what their management's going to be. So
interesting. Yeah. I was just thinking, I wonder if he's going to be one of those like end game guys or if he's going to get pushed up into the,
it may depend how he finishes.
Yeah,
but I think he's in play after the 25th. I mean, there'll be some leagues he doesn't go to the 35th, and some leagues he doesn't go to the 45th. Well, maybe not that far.
Well, yeah, I do think he'll probably fly under the radar for the general fantasy baseball population anyway. So keep an eye on Dane Dunning. I got him as a one next week as well. Kevin Gausman versus the Yankees versus Boston. Kind of been a tough year. He's been getting BABIPped, like. I forget who tweeted it, but he's had some unfortunate luck on balls in play. So versus the Yankees, versus Boston. I don't know if he's quite a five anymore, but I'm going to go four.
Who would have thought that a rotation with Alek Manoah, Jose Berríos, and Kevin Gausman, that Ross Stripling would start the second game of the playoffs?
Could happen.
And it very well could happen.
Would you go Manoah Stripling?
I'm in my mind, I probably would because he's pitching better, but you need one of the two of those guys has to step up in the playoffs for the Toronto to make a run. And they certainly can, but just as Berríos strings two games together, he has that clunker again, he just did. But as far as Gausman goes, man, Mr. Splitty, these two tough matchups. I'm going to go four. But, it's not it's almost like a knuckleballer four where, anything can happen.
Yeah. Both in Toronto against some. I know the Yankees haven't been humming on all cylinders.
And neither the Red. Well, the Red Sox certainly have not.
Yeah. But still, that does kind of give you a little pause. So, yeah, I think four is right there. And Corey Abbott's a zero, right?
No reason to stretch that one out.
No, sir. Well, let's recap these grades. The final two-star pitcher grades for 2022. Though, again, we'll be back here for podcasts on the next two Fridays. But thank you all for being with us on this journey. Hope you can bring home some titles, and hopefully we helped you in some way this year. Max Fried, 5. Jordan Lyles, 1. Kyle Bradish, 2. Michael Wacha, 4. Connor Overton, 0. Tristan McKenzie, 5. Herman Marquez, 1. Lance Lynn, 4. Joey Wentz, 1. Daniel Lynch, 0. Dustin May, 3. Pablo Lopez, I say 3. Todd, 4. Adrian Hauser, 0. Bailey Ober, 3. Luis Severino, I say 4. Todd, 3. James Caprillion, I say 1. Todd, 2. Zach Wheeler, 5. Ronzi Contreras, 2. Blake Snell, I say 4. Todd, 5. Robbie Ray, 5. Logan Webb, 5. Corey Kluber, 3. Dane Dunning, 1. Kevin Gausman, 4. And Corey Abbott, 0. Well, this has been a fun exercise. And again, hope you found it somewhat useful out there, all of you. Anything else on your mind today, Todd?
I don't know. This is the deal. I'm not letting it affect my work. At least I'm not trying to. But this is the time of year where I've got so many ideas already for next year. And in some ways, the season can't end soon enough. In other ways, I don't want it to end. I've got some ideas that specifically for some stuff I want to post for the site. So, I love watching ball games.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I want to take Todd's takes. And, we'll talk about this a little more. But I don't play the game as well as I want to. So I'm going to pick apart my teams. And I'm going to pick apart the teams that have won some of the leagues I've been in. And I'm going to try to determine if it's my drafting, if it's my team construct, if it's my NC. You know, I'm going to try to figure out what it is that I'm not doing as well as I'm supposed to. And I'm going to be doing it in a way that, you know, it's the oldest team, who cares? I'm going to be doing it in a way such that I think other people can do this with their teams and get something out of it. So that's the plan anyway. And then win all my leagues next year.
Well, that's ideal. That would be ideal if that works out for you. I think I need to do something like that too, because it hasn't been a disaster season, but just not as good as I would want. So I might have to do a little self-reflection on my game and a little inventory and what I did and didn't do right. Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back for the next 2 weeks on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by So Rare.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.